Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
Buffington, the Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base Deep Dive into the greatest rivalry in sports playoff.
Playoffs.
Pete Rose edition. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. What is it? Are we 170?
170, man. 170. Getting up there in years.
Freaking nuts. Listen, we don't have a ton of time today, so let's get right at it. I mean, obviously, the final day of the season with the Mets was incredible, and I don't want to break it down because it'd be aged, but I mean, the last three innings of that game was, that's why baseball can still be great. And if you the first six innings, maybe not so much, but the last couple innings of that game were bananas, and so it's exciting. And I don't like the Mets, but I'm rooting for the Mets. So let's get into prediction. You want any quick comments on the end of the season?
Well, obviously, as Yankee fans, we're concerned about Rizzo, right, and what they're going to do with that first base situation. So hopefully, it's not Ben Rice. Hopefully, we go with Oswaldo Cabrera. But there's still like 5 days to figure that out.
He's definitely out.
He's out definitely for the first round. Yeah. You know, it's fractures of the fourth and fifth, which would be the pinky, and then the other finger, whatever they call that next, the digit, the other digit.
I don't know.
The ring finger, I guess that would be on the right hand. So, yeah.
There's only one finger I know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my concern going forward. But heck, man, if you're a Mets fan, congratulations, man. I mean, first of all, the season that the Mets had was insane. I mean, they were garbage until May, and then they were like the best team in baseball.
I thought Steve Cohen was going to jump off a bridge.
And especially after what they did last year, selling off the team, basically saying, oh, we'll get to 2025. And be fine. Boy, talk about playing above the ceiling. And I'm sorry, but all you Shohei Ohtani beaters out there, Francisco Lindor deserves a lot more credit than people are going to give him for the MVP race.
And I'll tell you, and I said this on our morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080, his start in New York last year was terrible too. And the fact that he's finally gotten comfortable with the money and he's playing the way he can, he's very impressive. I mean, I don't know. Switch hitters, I think, are magical. I just think that there's something magical about guys that can hit from both sides of the plate. All right, let's get to predictions here. This is a couple teams that we're not used to seeing, including the Mets. But there's a bunch of teams that are in there that...
Will you do National League or American League first?
You pick.
Well, let's do the National League because that's the flavor right now. Because right after the game on Monday, the Braves had to fly to San Diego to play on Tuesday night, and the Mets went right back to Milwaukee, where they've been just recently. They just played in Milwaukee, so let's look at those first.
I'm torn on one series, and I have no hesitation on the other. And I'm going not just with what I think is going to happen; I'm actually going what I want to happen. I mean, I think the Padres, with all the money they spent the last few years and all the disappointments, they were sort of like the kind of a heavier version of the Blue Jays, except they finally lived up to expectations, and they're really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of stars. I think that they beat the Braves. I think it's just not the Braves' year. It just doesn't feel like it is. Now, they still, in an Astros kind of way, have a ton of talent, but I just think San Diego's too good.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if the Braves won the World Series both years, Ronald Acuna Jr. went out with an ACL injury? Okay. That would be something. I just don't see it happening. Chris Sale is definitely out for the first round with his back spasm.
The whole round,
they're saying he's out now with back spasm. So I'm sure that might linger. I agree with you, Brian. I think the Padres are just a far superior team. I think they just just got the bullpen is insane. They're, believe it or not, their starting rotation is going to be, I think Michael King is going to pitch and Musgrove is going to pitch, and I forget the guy in between, but they're not going to see Yu Darvish. But former Yankee in the Juan Soto trade, Michael King will pitch Tuesday
night.
He was
a reliever, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was being groomed to be a starter when he left his final season with the Yankees, and he had a great year this year. He had a really good year. If you look at his numbers, he should be in the top 10 consideration for Cy Young Award in the National League. But I'm going to go with the Padres, and I think the Padres sweep them. I just think the Padres are too good. They played in a very tough division. They were right there till the end. I just think their star power outweighs, even though they got rid of their biggest star, Juan Soto. You know.
So the other game, obviously, the other series puts the Mets coming off that high of qualifying against the Brewers, who I think have won the Central 3 out of the last 4 years or something like that. I am one of those people that I pull for the Brewers because I want smaller markets to have some success, and I think it's really important to baseball. Just like it's hard for me, the Royals-Orioles is going to be a tough one for me because of my heart. Like, I want the Brewers to move on, but I like the Mets. And Pete Alonso is one of my favorite guys. I mean, I just really like Pete Alonso, and you talked about Lindor already. So I think that the Mets are going to have a little bit of a hangover, and we'll see what happens. But I'm going to go with the Brewers just because I want small market to advance.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, this is the 3 seed versus the 6 seed matchup. I mean, so the Mets squeak in at the last second. I just don't see it flip-flopping too much. I think it's going to be a great series. I think it will go the distance.
I think they're pretty even.
Yes, I do see. I just don't see the Brewers all of a sudden deciding, oh, we're going to play bad baseball now. I mean, everybody has been expecting them to not do good every month of this season. All they've done is prove everybody wrong, you know? And it's just, they just keep getting better, and they're a great team. They got a great bullpen. You know, their starters are what they are, but they've got them here already, so they're going to do what they keep doing.
I have no idea they won 93 games.
93 games. They have an awesome rookie in Jackson Churio who had an amazing second half. Their right fielder, Sal Frelick, is out. He's a spark plug on that team. He gets on base. Not a huge average guy, but he gets on base. He's out indefinitely for this round.
And Yelich is gone, right?
Yelich is gone. So, I mean, they are in role-playing mode right now. They are going to piece this together, but I just don't see him stopping. I see him keep going. But I as opposed to the Braves-Padres series, I see this one going 3 games and then the other series being a sweep by the Braves.
Yeah, I think the Mets-Brewers is a real fun matchup. And then we transition to the American League, and let's start with the Royals and the Orioles. Listen, the Orioles had a really rough second half, and the Royals maybe...
They had a rough last couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, the wild card in the AL was such a downer because, I mean, it was there to be had. And
this got flipped at the last day because originally it was supposed to be the Orioles and the Tigers playing and then the Royals and the Astros. But then it got flipped. So it's going to be the A.J. Hinch showdown in Houston.
You know, it's okay. You want to start with it? I mean, I want to start with the Royals and the Orioles.
All right, let's do that.
I just don't – I mean, listen, the Royals lost more than 100 games a year ago. And they are a great story, but I'm not sure if they have enough pieces. And the Orioles, I thought on paper and the way they started the season, I thought they could beat anybody. But now I haven't looked under the hood, but they feel like they're really tired. You know what I mean? Like they're kind of cooked. So I don't know. I'm gonna pick the Orioles just because I've been riding them, and I love Adley Rutschman. I want them to do well, but I mean, I think that this is a pick 'em.
Yeah, so the Orioles, you know, they seem tired, right, because they were beat up, they were injured, but they got healthy. They got healthy in the last week and the last week and a half of the season with Westberg coming back, Urias coming back, Ryan Mountcastle. You know, Adley Rutschman, he is banged up. He's dinged up. He's been dropped from second down to sixth in the order. So I don't see him factoring in as much as most people would think. I think your guys to focus on in this series would be Jordan Westberg and Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson has been playing awesome the last couple weeks of the season. That being said, I don't see the Orioles being able to do it. And the reason why is pitching. I just don't see them having the pitching. I don't see them.
They don't have John Means.
They don't have Grayson Rodriguez. They have Corbin Burns, who will go on game one against Cole Reagans. But I see with the Royals having Bobby Witt Jr., getting Vinny Pasquantino back, who they lost for the last 2 months, a month and a half, I believe. Huge part of the lineup. When he went down, they went down. So they got him back. Their bullpen is better. Their starting pitching is better than the Orioles. And I do believe this will go 3 games, but I believe the Royals will pull this off.
I'm taking the Royals. I'm taking the Orioles. Listen, and then we go to the Astros and the Tigers. I mean, it's so good for baseball, in my opinion, that Detroit made the playoffs. I think of the 80s, like Detroit, KC, Baltimore. It's like, it's fun to have these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think the Astros are way better. I couldn't name three guys or pick them out of a prison lineup on the Tigers. I'm picking the Tigers just because I hate Houston so much. And I think Houston's going to win, but I'm picking the Tigers because I don't want Houston to win.
Yeah, I mean, this is the 3-6 seed matchup. Houston, they just did Houston things, right? They were garbage at the beginning of the season. They just kept getting better and better and better, and they wound up winning the West again, like we kept talking about. Houston, that's where the championship runs through. I mean, anybody who says they're different is crazy. That's how it's been the last 10 years in baseball, and that's how it's going to be this year. I do believe the Houston Astros will beat the Tigers just based on postseason experience and names alone.
They're just
a better team. Yeah. That being said, I don't see the Astros, the Tigers rolling over one bit. I see them carrying the momentum. I believe this game will go all three games. Unfortunately, I do think the Astros will win. And as much as I agree with you, Brian, I want the Tigers to win because I hate the Astros. Right? Not just as a Yankees fan. I'm just tired. I'm tired of them in general. But my prediction is three games and Houston squeaks it out.
The only guy I know on that roster is the former Yankee.
Trey Sweeney?
Or Gio Urshela.
Yeah, Gio Urshela is on the Braves.
Oh, he got traded. That's right.
Yeah, he's on the Braves. So there's another former Yankee. But then you got Trey Sweeney. You got Riley Green in the outfield.
I don't know any of these guys.
You know, you got Spencer Torkelson. It's just, there's a bunch of just young players. That's what they are. They're a young team that is just playing. You know, you'll say they're playing above their ceiling, but if we'll go back and we'll reassess the season after the season, but this is one of the teams that I said has a really good shot prior to the season of being in the playoffs was
their
the Tigers.
Team batting average is .234.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean
their pitching has been amazing.
It has to be.
It
right?
really has. Their pitching has been insane, and it's a lot of guys, you know, other than Tarek Skubal, who will win the Cy Young Award in the American League. Not a ton of names after that, but they're pitching how they should, right? They're living up to their expectations. So I think Tarek Skubal against Framber Valdez in game one, that is, you can't get much more of a powerhouse matchup than that. Two huge, awesome lefties going against each other.
Just quick factoids. I just thought, just for S's and G's, I wanted to look up team batting averages. If you could guess, not the team, but guess what the highest team batting average is in Major League Baseball this year? I was stunned.
The highest overall team, .258.
Wow, .263.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, and then the
batting averages across the league are way down this year. They're just not.
It's really stunning. I mean, it is stunning. And of course, the White Sox being.
Well, if you look at, like, I think it's the American League, there was only four guys batted over .300 in the American League. And the next person, like, closest is, like in the .280s or something.
And
like
the Mariners,
that.
Who finished over .500, had a team batting average of .224. I mean, that's insane to me that you could hit that poorly for average and still win more games than you
But lose. You can still hit .224 as a batter and hit 40 home runs and make $20 million a year.
All right, we got a couple of minutes. How about strikeouts? And obviously, as you might imagine, the Mariners struck out more than anybody because hence that .224. Over a 162-game season, Seattle led the league in strikeouts. You want to guess the number? Ballpark it?
Oh, God. I don't even know. I mean, there's right. Some guys probably struck out 200 times alone. I would say, I don't know, 1,500? I don't know.
1,625. That's good. Those are good spitball guesses.
Yeah.
By the way, I could keep playing this game, but it's not a fair game. Anyway, he's John Sedekal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. The major topic besides the playoffs we want to talk about is Pete Rose. I mean, we've all heard the classic arguments. You know what I mean? He bet on baseball. He lied about it, but he never bet against his team.
So he says.
He was banned for life. He was banned from the Hall of Fame for life. Now he's dead. So does he get in?
Technically, his ban is up, right?
Correct.
Because he's passed away.
And will they do that posthumously? Does it matter? Do you care?
I think it matters tremendously, honestly, if he gets into the Hall of Fame, because it justifies, I believe, you know, that he shouldn't have been out excluded in the first place.
That's my opinion. This is one of the top hot take stories ever. Everyone always has an opinion on this.
Well, I think Pete Rose is a lot like a player. Like, let's steroids taken away, like Barry Bonds. He just, you know, a lot of people didn't like him. You know, he was a little coarse. He was a tough guy. You know, after he took out Fossey in the All-Star game, he basically ruined that guy's career. And, you know, he was a rough edge guy, but he was an awesome baseball player. And you look back and you can't discredit what he did. You just can't discredit what he did. 17 All-Stars, three-time batting champ, hit king, all-time hit king.
Two World Series. One MVP. Yeah.
Actually, I think he won three World Series.
No, I think he won the 75 and then he won with the Phillies. So he won Reds with 75 and then that one Philly like 81 or whatever it was. I don't remember what year.
Well, regardless of the fact, I mean, he has the numbers and, you know, it's, yes, I think if he would have came out right away and said he bet on baseball instead of lying about it all those years and waiting until he wrote a book to say he did it, that he was cashing in on it, I think that would have helped his chances right from the start. I think it wouldn't have been as long of a ban, you know. It didn't help that Giamatti died like 4 days after he banned him.
Right.
That doesn't help either. But I mean, come on, everything can be changed. I mean, it's time to do what's right and time to look at this and give Pete his due. I mean, he belongs in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
I'm against it for the two circumstantial things you point out. I mean, the statistics obviously don't lie, and he didn't cheat as a player. Yeah, he got the. You know what I mean, it wasn't like he was a Roy guy. The two things I hit on as a former journalist, it bothers me that he lied. It's like the same thing with Lance Armstrong and like Roger Clemens.
But that's why I say I think the lying is what hurt him.
No, with me, I'm telling you 100%, it's what hurt him with me. And I think there's no doubt about it that the lying really affects it. And the second thing is the other thing you said. He's a jerk, not a nice guy. Not a good guy.
No.
And then everyone says like, well, you know, everyone hated Ty Cobb too. And I get it. I understand. But I can't separate the two. Now, I just think that I think he'll get in, but I think it's just so mean-spirited to keep him out alive and then put him in when he's dead. I just think it's so mean-spirited. Like I was okay with him not being in because he was a liar. But I know there's always this overarching irony that the betting stuff is everywhere now, and it's kind of dumb. I do believe that he probably never bet against the Reds. I do. I think he would only bet on himself. It would be on brand that he's such a competitive guy. But the fact that he was a jerk and that he lied to me, lied to the media, lied to America, bothers me because I hate, and I don't use this word much, but I hate when people think that they're bigger than the truth and they're bigger than the system.
Yeah.
I literally hate that.
Like P. Diddy. I mean, it's just the way it is.
P. Diddy, Trump, all of it.
Yeah.
It really, really bothers me when you think that you are more important than the system.
No one's bigger than the game, and that's been proven year after year after year. It's like the internet. It always wins, right?
Yeah.
The thing about Pete Rose is, you know, he is not like, he wasn't in our wheelhouse generation, right? Like his back end of his career was as we were really starting to watch baseball,
correct,
at least me. Cause
I'm a little bit older.
A little bit
yes.
older, but I, like in 85 when he broke the record, I was only 10 years old. So like what I really remember about that is like I wasn't religiously sitting down to watch it like I would these days and with the way digital is now, you'd just be like pulling up your phone. Oh, is he going to get hit? Is he going to get a hit? I remember my father talking about it. But the big thing I remember about Pete Rose when I was little is we used to imitate him. Like we would have like the slip and slide in the yard or the blow up pool in the yard.
The
Pete Rose slide. Yeah. We would do the Pete Rose slide. And then the other interesting thing I remember is my dad always using this comment after he got nailed on the tax evasion and something else would happen to someone in the public eye or whatever. And my dad would go, don't worry about it. He's just going to Pete Rose prison. He'll be fine. Because that's what he did. He went to a minimum security prison for his tax evasion. And that's kind of what Governor Rowland did. He went to the Pete Rose prison. He walked around and fed some meals. Next thing you know, he's out the door. So I always thought that those are like the kind of takeaways I have as a child because I wasn't there in capacity to really watch him play. I remember him raising his hand when he won, you know, when he got the hit and was on the base. And I remember that iconic picture. But those are the two things I really remember about him.
Yeah. Obviously the 75 World Series, I was a little too young to remember, but I remember hearing about it and seeing the highlights because it was one of the best World Series to date in the history of baseball with the Red Sox. And he was maybe not a big part of the drama of that series, but he got 200 hits that season and had a great year. And I just never liked him. It wasn't as big when he got the hit title. It seemed weird. But that whole era was weird. AstroTurf and all.
Yeah.
That whole era was just, I feel like it was kind of, Like, I was, Mike Schmidt was never compelling to me. Like, the bunch of guys that did great things in that era that just didn't grab me.
Yeah.
The guys that grabbed me in that era were Brett and Ripken, but like Schmidt and Rose, I really didn't, I didn't care for them. And so, but I mean, obviously he's got more hits than anybody in the history of baseball, and he never juiced. I mean, he's his statistics speak for himself. The Giamatti angle to me is really fascinating because I forgot that Giamatti had just started the job and banned him from baseball and then dropped dead like
a week later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a massive smoker, and who knows if the stress of it contributed to his demise. But I mean, Giamatti was really a beloved figure.
Yeah.
And I certainly think that part of the problem with Rose, I think, is that they feel like they would be going against Giamatti's legacy if they switched it, right? I mean, yeah. I feel like that has to factor in a tiny bit because Giamatti's been mythologized in the game, really, for his love of the game and
yeah.
the potential. He's almost like a Kennedy figure.
Yeah.
Because, like, with JFK, it was more like the potential of what he would have become if he had stayed right. alive. And with Giamatti, even though he didn't look like it, he was 51. He's 2 years younger than I am now yeah. when he died.
He had some miles on those tires.
Can you believe that, though? I mean, I was...
And now his son's a famous actor doing Montefiore Einstein commercials.
I like Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
But anyway, that...
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Pete. And I'm sure, you know, we're going to hear a lot about this debate over the next 5 years, you know, about...
It's one of the hottest... you know, things to talk about. Anything else on your mind before we say goodbye?
No, we'll just mention real quick for all you people, speaking of flashbacks, back when the AL and the NL All-Stars used to wear their own uniforms. That's coming back.
I'm so psyched about this.
That's kind of the best things I've heard in a long time. So the players are going to be wearing their home and away jerseys starting next year, 2025. And other good news is they're getting rid of the hideous small name on the back uniforms and the see-through pants, but that's not going to come until probably 2026.
Well, because they have to get rid of the inventory.
Yeah, that, and they need a whole new line of 12-year-olds in Thailand, I guess, to make them.
Stop,
so.
Will you stop it? I think it's because they have all the stuff already made and they got to use them, right? I mean...
But that's great news because that, I feel, is cool. I love seeing that because then that shows the true representation of your team. I love looking out there and seeing seven pinstripe players out there, you know, and that kind of thing. Instead of some garbage puke brown uniform they had this past year that looked like they just, I don't know, they sewed it out of some old camel jacket from the 70s.
We got like a minute here. I want to throw this out there because I've been thinking about this. And we grew up in a different era than now. And when I was growing up, I literally never saw the National League play. But since interleague play is such a ingrained part of it, and it's no big deal when the Mets come to Boston, what if we dialed it back? Like, what if we, like, did less of it and made it like the Mets only came to Boston, like, once every 5 years or something? I feel like there's got to be a way to make that, because it's really just one big league now.
Right.
Right? It's sort of like the NFL, and the NBA, and I understand it's never going back, but I kind of wish they would make it a little more special again to play.
That one team's coming in, or you don't get to see them as much, or you don't get to see them this year, you'll see them next year when they come in.
I just feel like there's something to that.
They kind of do it now because they alternate home and away in the series. Like the Yankees, if they play the Dodgers at home, they'll play them the Dodgers the following year. But you are right, Brian. There's no, like, I haven't seen this team all season. We aren't going to see them until the playoffs.
Mookie's coming back to Boston. Like, it's must-see TV type thing. And it even still would. But anyway, I just was thinking out loud. Great stuff. We'll obviously come back next week with results from the first round, and we'll make predictions for the next round of the playoffs. And it's a great time of year. And the weather seems really good, by the way, for games. You know, who knows what will happen when New York starts
to play. We'll
see
how this 5 days off with the division leaders affect them. Because, you know, I think, you know, baseball is a repetitive game. And I'm not a big fan of days off. I really am not.
Well, two is fine. I think two is the most.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, because after that, these guys, they're all OCD, you know it. I mean, you're 100% right about that.
Your swing can go real quick after 5 days of sitting around taking hits off a tee.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.